question that I have for you today is a very simple one. Are marriages and relationships between men and women at an all-time high? The answer is no. Well, do you think that we can confidently say that husbands and wives have moved closer than in any time in modern history? The answer is no. Wow. Are there solutions to many of the problems that confront couples today? The answer is no. So many marriages are on the brink of breakup. Even Christian marriages suffer from the pain of the common misconception that two people living together makes for eternal happiness. How about this? Every relationship requires work, and the Word of God implies effort, effort which implies work. Are we willing to work? No, we're not. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay attention to some attention areas today. I want you to be able to identify the real problems in this scenario of marriage. This can only be done if the two parties learn how to listen with their hearts and not just with their ears. We're going to spend a lot of time on this hour as we discuss marriage. We're going to address the implications of us not hearing each other correctly. And so we're going to start off with that. With that, this is Pastor John Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative, 20 Hours of Marriage and What Comes With It. And this is hour number two. Do you believe that Pastor John can talk to you for 20 straight hours about marriage? Going to try to put all this stuff in up on the website and so that we can have it there for your daily listening. I want to thank you. Thank you so much for coming to my website. So put on your Russian Cossack shoes and do the Russian dance as we listen to a number from Hooked on Classics, an album way back in time, as we address not the mirage, but marriage itself. This is Pastor John, Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Thank you for joining me. I am so glad that you could. And what I'm going to try to do is to address some of these questions that we gave in our introduction about marriage, because I really believe that it is just important to do that. If you have any comments about these marriage formats that I'm taking you through, I would love to hear from you. Into the Word in the numeric 1 at ca.rr.com, or you can contact me at Into the Word in the numeric 1 at aol.com. Make sure that you understand fully what the problems are in your life and in your head before you begin to weigh in on your spouse. I'm also looking for pictures of other married couples to put up on the website, and I'm definitely going to put various pictures up every other day as we discuss these things. The issues that are causing the delays are impending progress in your marriage, and how you're going to get along with others is the issue that we have to cope with. And we're going to also try to address in this hour why problems were not anticipated. What got in the way of your getting together on that particular problematic issue? What are the things that got in the way and made you stop doing what God would have you do? And then another question, if you are willing to investigate it. Do you want to know that the problem is not necessarily in her head or his head, but the problem is in your head? And do you want to know that? Because if you don't want to know that, my friends, I got some news for you. You will not know. I picked up some of these things from a book called Discovering Your Soulmate, and it's an excellent little book written by African-Americans, two African-Americans about the issue. And I've been teaching from this book on marriage for years, literally years. And it is one of the finest books that I have in my library on relationships. Here's some of the questions that people ask after they get their partner that they think that they're going to live with for the rest of their life. The question is it too late after I made a mistake? In other words, I think I married the wrong person. No. You know, I don't think it should really go down like that, because it doesn't matter who you marry. Whomever you marry, you are going to be you. Remember, it's not the other person necessarily. It's you. You're the one with the problem. Here's another question that we ask. Can I turn them in for another model? In other words, can you cash them in and get some money back? You know, we live in perilous times. The economy is all shot. I was looking at the news this morning when I got up, and folk are acting like way back in the 30s or the 20s when the stock market crashed and losing everything. And you should have seen all the little yuppies on television. Their faces and eyes are all bubbly and everything, because they're concerned about holding on to their money. Well, I was just telling my neighbor who moved away from me, one of the things that I was admonishing her to do is to keep her family tight so that she and Michael and the kids would remain strong family unit together. Here's another kind of a statement that people make. He says, well, I just don't know. I didn't know what I was doing when I got married. So you need to be a little easy with me, Pastor John. I was young. I was blinded by the sex that I was having. I was blinded by me listening to the other people trying to tell me what to do in a relationship. Is that right? Well, then they come with another question. He says, what if it was never intended for me to have anybody in the first place? And I feel that the whole relational aspect was just a mistake, PJ. I mean, I thought that I'd make a good marriage partner, only to find out that I, you know, wouldn't make a good one. So it was a mistake. I couldn't help that it turned out that way. So why are you being so hard on me, brother? Well, all right. Here's one of the issues that is really confronting married people, especially in their late 30s, early 40s. Not all, because there's some people that know how to be intimate with each other. From a section entitled Lessons on Intimacy, it says, what? They haven't touched me in years. Now, that's a serious statement from a marriage couple. Why? I think some of the things that we have to look at as we address that, and that goes both ways, to the guys as well as to the ladies. Hygienically, are you clean? Do you smell? We talked about that during the first hour. Do you smell? Are you good to smell? Are you good to feel? We're talking about marriage stuff. We aren't just talking about dating. We aren't talking about what young people do when they date, because all that is flesh. I'm talking about after you married the flesh, after the flesh has become one flesh with your flesh. Now, you may be saying, PJ, you really don't need to go there, man, because, see, this thing is far from over, brother. I know of a man. I won't give his name. I'll try not to give any names here, because marriage is too volatile an issue for me to be given a lot of names and illustrations like this, because one of the worst things that can happen in a person's life is when they break up from the person that they're with. But a person just no longer was able to be with their spouse. They told me, I don't even want to be around it. Don't want to smell it. Don't want to touch it. Don't want to hear it. Anything like that. And you know, when it gets like that, that is serious. That's a serious accusation. Now you may be saying, PJ, you're crazy. You watch too many movies, John. People don't have to be close to each other anymore. Marriage is a business contract. She bring in so much money, I bring in so much money. Okay, the kid came out of us just hooking up, having sex. I can't really say that I loved her or loved him, because really I can't stand him. I never could stand him when he was on me. I just wanted him off me, but I guess he had to go through that. My mama told me that's what you have to go through when you're with him, because that's all they want to do is that, and I don't want to do that with them no more. I see somebody else I want to do that with. I like his smell. I like the way he look at me. I like the dimple on his cheek. I don't want this old retarded, worn out copy of a man. You know, that's why, you know, especially those of you that are Christians, you got to be very careful. Because you talk about a man, you talk to certain people like that, and they'll kill you. You know that? They will literally kill you. Here you are, you've told a person these lies. Oh, I don't know how many weddings I performed in my professional career as a pastor, but I performed these weddings, and these people stand in front of everybody and just lie to them. Do you, Jethro, take Ruth here to be your lawfully wedded wife, to having to hold, to love and to cherish, to honor and to obey, and to death do you part? And she says, yeah. She knows she ain't lying. He knows he's lying. Now, if you find yourself in that category and you're going through misery and pain right now, that's your misery. That's your pain that you're going through, not mine. And that's what's so beautiful about this whole thing. All of these issues are very important issues, and I believe issues that have to be addressed within the relationship itself. But you have to realize that if you married the person and you lied to the person when you married them, that is something that you've done. No one else. You did that. Now, at the very same time, you have to suffer the consequence, or the consequences, for the decision that you've made. If it's become a financial burden, if it's become a psychological burden and all of that, you made that decision. That's why, you know, I try to tell young men, I says, don't ever become mesmerized by the beauty of the woman and get with the woman and the woman doesn't love you for who you are. And I tell young women, don't ever marry a man for the amount of money that he has in his pocket, because you may fall in love with the money, but it is not necessarily true that you will be able to adequately fall in love with the man. See what I'm talking about? What is it to treat her like a lady? That's another question. That we'll be addressing during these 20 hours of discussing marriage. What is it to treat her like a lady? Not to treat her like someone that you used to date, or some whore or something like that. I find that in relationships today that the intimacy between the man and the woman in the marriage relationship seems to have dissipated. There's not that fair exchange of intimacy. The lady ends up saying, where's the guy that I always wanted to marry? Well, aren't you with him? And she'll say, knock on wood, nah, it's not him. I thought it was him. I mean, he looked real nice in his little tuxedo after we walked down the aisle, but that's not the man that I wanted to marry. When do I look for the role model? Before or after I marry? Well, wait a minute. What kind of a question is that? If you're looking for roles to model your marriage after, if you didn't see it, and here's where another particular problem comes up. If you didn't see that role model in the home, with a mother and a dad, because that's where I saw it modeled for me. And this is why marriage is going through such turmoil today, because we don't see that role model. We really don't. I don't know why we get married. What is it? Do we see a couple on television? Do we watch a late night television show? And do we try to model our lives, our marriages, after what we've seen on television? Well, no. See, the more you listen to me, the more you're in perplexity. But my intention in this series of lectures is to introduce you to what others have found to be true concerning relational dispositions between men and women. The confusion within relationships ends when you want it to end. And many people remain at the crossroads of this relational aspects for the rest of their lives until it ends up in divorce, or it ends up in outbursts of anger, and then everybody's snatching for material goods, and you destroy one another. You don't want to do that. And you know what? If there are deep personal problems within you that you have not adequately dealt with, you leaving the person that you're with now and getting with another person does not necessarily mean that you're going to solve the problem that way. The problem is solved when you deal with those issues. Now, how do you find the soulmate? In other words, that's called discovery. How do you find them? I want to talk with some of you that are single. Before you get married. Here's a statement by someone. It says, when the world is kicking me and I'm down, it is you whom I look to for support. And I'd like to do the same for you. Now that's a soulmate. A soulmate is one that is going to stand right by the side of the other person for the duration. Trust me, Lucy and I, married 34 years, didn't have the happiest relationship every day. We argued, we fussed, we had disagreements. One thing I can say, I never laid my hand on her, never hit my wife of 34 years, never laid my hands on her. I lose respect for a man, and nowadays a woman, that would put her hand on her husband, or a man that would put his hand on his wife like that, especially the woman that has had his children. Here she's going through bearing your children, and you're going to bear down on her like a Sherman tank and whoop her. Well, when the world is kicking me and I'm down, it is you that I look to for support. These are the words of a person that has found their soulmate after realizing that living together is more than a partnership. Because a lot of people try to get together, and I know that in the Christian life, we are taught that we should not live together before we marry the other person. Let me talk with you a little bit about that, too, because I think that's important for you to know that. I don't think that a Christian should be a fornicating person just living with people, having sex with the other person, and then say, nah, she ain't gonna work. Why? Well, I don't like the way she do it. So I got to get, no, you're just a heathen gone wild. You know, you're not a Christian. I didn't sleep with my wife before I married her. We did pet. We did kiss, held each other. I did smell her to see if I liked her smell, her odor, if you will. It's important to know that. Because if you say that you love a person and you can't stand to be intimate with them, that's going to raise some serious issues in the relationship later on. And so I believe in touching and feeling before you marry. I just don't believe in fornicating before you marry. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that a person should ask the person that they plan to marry? Are they frigid, rigid? ask them, are they virgins? Have they had sex before with another human being? And I put an emphasis upon human being because there's all kinds of people having relations with themselves that are not human. These people have experimented with themselves sexually, with sex toys and things like that. And I'm just saying.